Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Hope y'all have had a good week. Look forward to a good week. Is anybody off tomorrow? Yeah, all right. There you go. Way to go. Government employees back there. Enjoying that day off. Some of y'all are always off. You know, y'all don't count. Y'all retired folks don't count. Every day off, you know. All right, let's get started this morning. All right, Luke chapter 6, verses 37-38. That's where our text for today. Kids, you can follow along on your outline. And before we do, let's read our memory verse. Kids, it's in green on your outline. Adults, it should be on the board behind you, on the screen behind you, or in your bulletin. Let's read it together. Here we go. Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Genesis 50:20. Very good. All right, so the last 2 weeks, as we've started off the new year, we've kind of been going over what we call our win and what we're about here at Valley Grove, and that's moving ourselves and others toward Christ. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about moving ourselves toward Christ, and one of the main things, one of our goals this year, is for more of you to be involved in Sunday school at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. So if you're not involved in Sunday school, we'd really love for you to be involved in Sunday school, because that's one way you can help yourself grow closer to Jesus in 2020. All right. Last week, we talked about moving others toward Christ, because we can't just stop at moving ourselves. And so those are the two parts of our mission, our vision. I like to call it our win, of moving ourselves and others toward Christ. Today, we're going to slightly shift gears, and we're going to look at one of our core values, one of the things that I believe helps us move ourselves and others toward Christ. Bible study, or being in a small group, is one of them. Another is Bible study and prayer. Another one is serving, and another is engaging people. And the last one of those is giving, right? Now, giving to me is it won't necessarily stop you from moving yourselves and others toward Christ, but it will greatly hinder your ability to do that over the course of your life. Does that make sense? It is like the undercurrent that it is one of those things that pushes you forward. And if you take that out, you will never be able to be all that you could be or do all that you could do. Or, in fact, as we'll see today, receive all that you could receive, because you have limited what God will give you or can give you in return. All right, so let's read Luke 6:37-38. Read along with me. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right? Now, let me kind of walk you through real quick how I want to talk about this message. I'm going to give you three kind of qualifiers. All right, first. I'm going to talk about that first. Then we're going to move into the main body of the text of what Jesus is saying. And I'm going to give you two crucial points. I'm going to give you some qualifiers, two crucial points. And then we're going to look at giving in depth, and then we'll have, application. I've got a visual application for you today, okay? So we're going to use some grits and measuring cups, right? Awesome. All right, so pique your interest there, all right? So let me give you three qualifiers, all right? I'm going to give you three qualifiers, because whenever we talk about money or we talk about giving, some people, there's always a lot of what ifs, okay? So I'm going to give you three qualifiers. Number one. Here's your first qualifier. This message is for followers of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6, the entire passage of Luke chapter 6 is what scholars call Jesus' sermon on the plain. Okay? Because in Luke, Jesus gave this sermon, Luke says, on a level ground. So New Testament scholars say this is Jesus' sermon on the plain. Right? Matthew, on the other hand, has Jesus' sermon on the mount, right? And you will see there's a lot of similarity between what Luke says, or what Luke records that Jesus says and what Matthew records what Jesus says in those two sermons, okay? There's a little difference. We're going to look at that. There's one in our passage that's a little different. And it's just two distinct sermons that Jesus gives in two different locations, but they have similar content, right? And so whenever Jesus speaks the Sermon on the Plain or speaks the Sermon on the Mount, he is speaking to believers. And if you want to know one key idea about the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Mount, it's this. Whatever Jesus says is for believers, and scholars like to call it about kingdom ethics. So here's the second qualifier. Not only is it for believers, but this passage is how believers should live. It explains how believers should live. All right. So whatever we read today, if you raise your hand and say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, this is for you about how you should live. Now, we may not like what Jesus says, but that's a problem we've got to work out with him, because what we're going to say is for you and I and us. All right. Here's your third qualifier. When we talk about giving, when Jesus talks about giving, it is not solely limited to money, but money does play a big part. All right, did you get that? When Jesus talks about giving, he's not always talking about money or specifically talking about money, but money does play a big part. Okay? All right, so those are your qualifiers. Now let's talk about the passage in kind of a general form. When we read this passage, where this occurs in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew only talks about judgment. And y'all know that famous, ill-quoted cliche that culture lives by. Bible says don't judge. Which is a, yes, it says that, but you've taken it completely out of context, okay? In Luke, Jesus expands on this concept of judgment and adds three other actions. He says judgment, condemnation, forgiveness, and giving, all right? And they're divided into two parts. Judgment and condemnation are what you would consider a negative idea. What that means is Jesus says, don't do these. He says, don't judge and don't condemn. All right? So you don't drink. Don't judge, don't condemn. Now let me kind of give you what that means. Both words are synonyms for each other, and they mean kind of the same thing. And so here's the definition if you're looking for a definition for that. Judgment and condemnation means looking... or making yourself better by criticizing others. Making yourself better by criticizing others. Can I put it in Travis' talk here today? It is arbitrarily putting a standard on someone that you don't put on yourself. Right? Arbitrarily putting a standard on someone else that you don't put on yourself and talking bad about them because they don't live up to your arbitrary standard that you can't even keep yourself. All right? So Jesus says, don't do that. All right? But then he gives a positive idea. He gives two positive ideas. So don't condemn, don't judge, but do forgive and do give. All right. The word forgive there, if we're looking for a definition, the meaning behind the word forgive is this, if I can put it into a sentence. I acknowledge the wrong and who did the wrong. I'm just not going to hold them responsible for the consequences. Right? I acknowledge the person that person right there did the wrong. Here's what they did, but I'm not going to hold the carrot in front of them that they'll never get. I'm going to take the carrot away, and I'm choosing to not hold them responsible for the consequences that I have a right to hold over them. But I'm choosing not to do that. That's forgiveness, okay? Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time there today. I want to focus on giving. That could be a whole sermon in and of itself. And then Jesus says, do forgive. So that's generosity. So you've got four ideas, all right? Don't judge, don't condemn. That means don't hold someone to a standard you can't keep yourself and then criticize them because they can't keep your standard. But do forgive and do give. Now, I told you there were two ideas I want to give you out of these four actions. All right, so if you're taking notes, here we go. Here's your two ideas. Number one, in these two verses, here's what you see. How we treat others is related to what or how we receive from God. Right? So let's read the verse again. We'll read the whole passage again. Jesus says in verse 37, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For listen to this last sentence. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right. So how we treat others is how we will receive or get back from God. I'm going to use an example. I've got some measuring cups with me this morning. We're going to talk about these grits here in a minute. But I got some measuring cups. Right? So here we go. So this is a cup measure. Y'all were impressed. I knew that, aren't you? Right, this is a cup measure. Here's what Jesus is saying. Is if I judge, if I arbitrarily criticize Pastor Joe to make myself look better in cup measurements, guess what I will receive back? The same thing in cup measurements. However, if I use a 4-cup measure, everybody see that? To criticize Pastor Joe to make myself look better arbitrarily, guess what I'm going to receive back? 4 cups. See, here's what often happens. We measure judgment in 4-cup measures, but we want 1/8 of a teaspoon back. That's not, Jesus is saying, that's not how it works. You can't be critical of other people and then expect me to give you 1/8 of a teaspoon back. That's not how it works. Now, the reverse is true, too, on the good side. If I forgive Pastor Joe in 4-cup measures, what does Jesus say I get back from him? 4 cup measures, not 1/8 of a teaspoon. So, see, it works both ways. So how we measure these things out is how or what we will be measured back. All right, so that's key. Here's the second thing. All right. How would you rather say we receive God? Oh, I just gave you both all in one. Look at there. I gave you both in one. In other words, what you give to other people is how God gives back to you, and then how you measure it out is the way God's going to give back to you. Now, let's talk about giving specifically, okay? Let's talk about giving specifically, all right? Because Jesus explains giving more. Like, he gives us more information about giving than he does about the other four. So if you read this passage in Matthew, Jesus talks about judgment. But here, Jesus talks about giving. All right. Now, I had to ask myself, why does Jesus expand on giving and not the other three? Right. We do. We have issues with all of them. But why does he choose giving here? And here's kind of my conclusion. We are all by nature selfish and stingy. Right. We've got some children in the room here today. Y'all don't have to answer this because your parents will answer for you. What was one of the most common words of all kids growing up? Mine. Mine, mine, mine. It's never, look. Hey. When kids, I've been around kids of all ages. You'll never hear a kid, you rarely hear a kid say, yours, yours, yours. No, what do they say? Mine, 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 right? Because we by nature are stingy. We by nature are hoarders of things we value. Think about that for a minute. We hoard things we value. Nobody is a hoarder of things they don't value, right? The people who are on those, bless their hearts, the people who are on those hoarders shows, the problem is they hoard everything and they because they value everything. And sometimes you don't need to value, you know, like empty cartons of milk and empty soda cans and empty Coke bottles. Like, those are things that are trash. But people who have hoarder issues have an issue because they value everything, right? And you do the same thing. I imagine if we were going to your house, you have some things that you've hoarded. And those are things, if I were to ask you, they wouldn't be valuable to me, but they're valuable to you. And so you keep them. And so we're all that by nature. And so Jesus explains giving a little bit more because we need more help in giving. However, what Jesus is saying is that God's people are not called to be hoarders of their resources, but they're called to be generous of their resources, whether that's their time, their talent, or their treasure, right? And we give, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this statement, but we give because God gave to us first, right? God was generous in sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to bleed, suffer, so that we might have forgiveness of sins. So we give because God generously gave to us first, okay? So Jesus explains giving because we need help in that area. And He does so with a farming illustration. On the kids' outline, if you're near one, you can look. It's got bags of grain. And the idea is that Jesus uses is when a buyer comes into the market and says, "Hey, I want a bag of grain," and goes to the seller and they've got their bag and they say, "Hey, I want this whole bag full." I don't know if you've ever poured grain or some type of grain related, but here's normally what happens. When you pour grain into a container, it pyramids, right? And it creates, it goes down the bottom, but then it creates a pyramid. Now, when the pyramid is at the top of the sack isn't full even though the pyramid reaches the top, right? So what you literally have to do, and Jesus says here, you have to shake it. And so literally what you do is you take the sack and you shake it. And what happens is that pyramid does this. There's no pyramid. It floats down. And that grain covers the part of the sack that the pyramid is missing. And then you pour more in there. And inevitably what's going to happen is it's going to pyramid again. And you're going to have to keep shaking it. And if you really want to get it full, you press it down. You take the shake and you go, and you shake it. Right? And it makes that grain settle all that. And then you can continue pouring into the sack, okay, until you have your measurement full. All right? Until you have your measurement full. And you keep pouring and you keep pouring. You keep pressing down. You keep shaking. And that's what, listen to me, that's what Jesus says that God wants to do with each and every one of you. But here's the difference. If you were in the market buying grain, when the seller reached the top level of your sack, he or she is done. Like, you're not going to get any freebies, right? You're not going to get any extra. But read what Jesus says. It's on the screen. Read what Jesus says God will do. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Listen, this is crucial. Jesus saying God wants to so generously give back to you into your life that not only is your sack full, but it is mounded over the top and running off the sides, filling up whatever area is around it, right? That's how God wants to give back to you. That's what Jesus says will happen when we give, is that we will receive back from God in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, all right? And running over. So let's put this all together, okay? Let's bring it all together and then we're going to give an illustration, all right? How we treat others influences how we relate to God. So remember, if we give out 4 cups of judgment, that's what we're going to get back. If we give out 4 cups of forgiveness, that's what we're going to give back, all right? So how we relate to others is how God's going to relate and give back to us. The measure I use, the unit of measure, whether it's 4 cups or a ladle or a tablespoon or whatever, that's how much we'll receive back. So when that applies to giving, however much we give, and the unit we use is how much we'll receive back. And listen to me, no matter what unit we use, God wants to give generously and generously and generously so that our measurement is running over and is flowing over into areas around us. Okay? Everybody with me. Now, kids, I want you to watch. So I'm going to give you a real life demonstration of what this really looks like in our life. If I can get these measuring cups out. All right. So I've got a tablespoon, a teaspoon here, 1 cup, and 4 cups. So here's what that looks like.
Some of us are generous. We're generous, but we use a tablespoon's worth of generosity. So you can't see that, but that's not much. Right? Here we go. I'll hold that up. That's how much. Can y'all see that? No. You can't. Because it ain't that much. That ain't enough to feed a bird. Right? That's how generous we are. Now, you're faithful. You're faithful as the day is long to give your teaspoon of generosity. So that may be generosity with your money, generosity with your time, generosity with your talent, your treasure, your knowledge, whatever it is. You're generous, and you're generous as the day is long, but you're only giving, you're only generous, your unit of measure is a teaspoon. So what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? How much is God going to give back to us? A heaping teaspoon. Right? So let's pour that out. So here's a heaping teaspoon. Can y'all see that?
Yes.
Well, y'all can because y'all in the front. Can y'all in the back see that? Barely. That's not a lot, is it? But you got back what you gave, plus some. You just gave this amount. Now, some of us, we're cup measure people, right? And so we give a cup. So here we go. Now, y'all don't worry about these grits getting on the floor. That's why we have a vacuum. All right, so here's a cup. Now, that's a little bit more, right? And you're faithful. You're starting to see that in the back, right? So you're faithful as the day is long, and your generosity is measured in cups. Time, talent, treasure, gifts, whatever. You're measured in a cup. So what's God going to give back to you? A heaping cup. Because remember, God always gives you more than what you give. But Jesus says He's only going to use the measure that you use. Right? So here we go. That's some, and here's some more. Right? So we can start to see that, right?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Here's the issue. Some of us measure our giving in teaspoons, right? And we wonder why we ain't got this back. Right? Say it again, Nick. Why? You were right. Because you don't what? Yeah. Because you don't give in cups. You give in teaspoons. And some of us wonder why our church can't influence people the way we should. It's because we're giving in teaspoons. Now you say, well, now, Pastor, wait a minute. If I made more money, I could give more. All right, that's true. I agree with you. Let me give you a little example. If a person makes, now some of you who are not great at math, just find somebody who is real quick. Okay, be all right. If you make $200,000 a year and you give $10,000, right? Does anybody know what percentage of your salary that is? 5%. But if you made $30,000 and give $6,000, what percentage is that? 20%. Very good. Good job, kids. Way to go. So who's more generous? The person who gives $10,000 or the person who gives six? The person who gives six. So see, here's Jesus' point. It's not all about the total dollar amount. Because see, some of us are able to give four cup measures worth of giving. But we're only choosing to give a tablespoon. We could give four cups. We could give a gallon. Some of us could give a 55-gallon drum of generosity, but we're choosing to give a tablespoon. And then others of us really should probably only be giving a teaspoon, but we're over and above and giving a tablespoon. So it's not about the total amount. It's about the attitude of your heart. And that's Jesus' whole point. Generosity is not about the dollars that you give at the end of the day. It's about how generous are you, and realizing that the ratio of if you give a quarter cup, don't expect me to give you a 55-gallon drum back in measurement. Because see, here's what some of us are doing. Some of us are wondering why God hadn't blessed us. And where's God giving back to me? And I see all of these people getting blessing after blessing after blessing in their life, and all these things are working out, and I hadn't got that. What unit of measure are you using? Maybe those people are receiving, and you see and notice all that because their giving is commensurate to the level that they receive.
And you have received. You've just received in tablespoons.
And oh, your tablespoon, you got a heaping tablespoon back. But when you compare that to the 55-gallon drum, it's like, well, where's my... Because they were generous in 55-gallon units, not in tablespoons. So here's the point, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, God has called us, listen to me, God has called us to be generous. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be generous because He was generous with us. But God will only be generous back to us with the unit of measure that we use for other people. Get that? So how we are generous toward other people is how God is generous back to us. Now here's the illustration. I'm going to give you one more illustration. I'm going to use this plate. All right? Let me get this off here. Here's a quarter cup. All right? And God says, if we use a quarter cup of measure, that He will give us a quarter cup measure back. Plus some, right? Because it says, press down, shaking together, run over. So I'm going to use this whole cup for this illustration. All right, I'm going to try to hold this up. Again, we have a vacuum if some spills on the floor, so don't panic. All right, so He says He's going to give us more and give back, press down, shaking together. So I'm going to start pouring in. So this, the quarter cup is you. Here's God. So He's going to pour in. All right, and it is already starting to pyramid up, so I'm going to shake that sucker a little bit. All right, now look. All right, so we're almost full, so let me shake it. All right, and press it down. We're going to pour some more. All right, so we're about to get to the point. Now, what's it doing now? Kids, what's it doing? It's running over. Now, here's the thing. It's running over out of the cup, right? So what does that mean? It means that it is affecting other people, not just you. So look here. If you're only generous to the degree of a tablespoon or a teaspoon, then your area of overflow is going to be very small. That means you're not going to affect many people with your generosity. Or God's generosity, let me rephrase it. God's generosity back to you is only going to run over just a little bit. But if your generosity in quarter cups, that's a little bit more, right? That means God's generosity back to you is affecting more people around you. Now, how big do you think that circle would look if we had 55-gallon drums? It would be humongous. So here's the point. Your generosity not only affects what God gives back to you, but it affects the people who are in your circle of influence. Right? And you say, well, why hadn't our church affected more people in our area of influence? Can I draw this home and be real for a minute? Because a lot of us are stingy with our money. Just frank, honest. We're measuring back to God in tablespoons. And we have the ability to go up a size of unit measure. But we're stingy. And so we're going to talk more about how this relates to church budget next week. So don't skip. Point my finger at y'all. Don't skip. Because see, the more you're generous toward God, the more He's not only going to give back to you, but the people who are in your area of influence. And that goes for our church as well. So here's your challenge for the week, right? Go home, eat some grits. No, never, just kidding. No, here's your challenge for the week. All right, listen up real quickly. Here's your challenge. It's two parts, okay? It's going to take a little work. Number one, figure out what level of giving you're at. So be honest with yourselves. Are you a quarter teaspoon? Are you a tablespoon? Are you a half cup? You a cup? Are you a four cup kind of person? Whichever one. Honestly, ask yourself. If you're married, talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your family. What unit of measure are you at? And here's what I want to challenge you to do over the next year. Listen to me. Do whatever it takes to go up a unit size. So hey, look, if you're at a quarter cup, and a quarter cup is like, that's, you could do a little bit more, but you couldn't move up to four cups. You know, that's like dieting. I hate dieting. You know why? Because it feels like you can eat whatever you want to eat, and then you can't eat nothing but cardboard. I don't like dieting, right? So if somebody could create a diet that's like steps, and there may be one out there, but I just don't like. you kind of step down a little bit, that'd be a little bit easier. So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're at a quarter cup, I'm just asking you to move up to a half. If you're at a half, move up to a whole. If you're at a tablespoon, give two. Give three. If you're at a cup, go to two cups. If you're at two cups, go to three or four. If you're at four, maybe go to six. I'm just saying, find out where you are, and over the next year, pace yourself so that the end of the year in 2020, you're giving at a higher unit measure than you were at the beginning of this year. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying you got to jump right here. Just pace yourself and step up, all right? And see what God will do in your life over this next year. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've created. Thank you that you are the Lord and God over all. Thank you that you continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, thank you that you are living and active, and your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, in that Jesus said today that, Lord, you are willing to give back more than what we give. Pressed down, shaken together, running over into our laps. Lord, but you will only use the unit of measure that we are willing to use. So, Lord, I pray that we would never be called stingy, selfish, or hoarders. But, Lord, may we be cheerful, super generous people over this year. Lord, may you change the attitude of our heart. May you change what's going on the inside, Lord, so that you remake us into generous people who are willing to give, Lord, not only so that we can receive back, but Lord, so that we can affect our area of influence. Lord, please help us to be generous like you were generous. Freely willing to give so that others might can receive. So Lord, I don't know where we're at today. I don't know where we're at in our lives. I don't know what you've been working in and with on everybody here today. But Lord, I am confident that you know. And so Lord, I pray that you would begin to mold us and shape us in these moments ahead. As we go into our response time, Lord, may you work in our hearts. Lord, may you soften them. Lord, may we be better drawn to you so that we can be just like Jesus. Generous, just like Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.